Welcome to Cisco Tech Beat, the podcast that explores the people and stories behind what inspires the newest innovation. I'm your host, AB, and today I'm happy to welcome Oswaldo Mestri, Director of Citizen Services and Chief Services Officer for the City of Buffalo, New York. Go Bills! Under Oz's leadership, several important community initiatives have been established over the years, including Citizens Participation Academy, the Community Crime Prevention Initiative, and the 311 Call and Resolution Center, which became a lifeline for citizens during the height of the COVID pandemic. Oz, it's so great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on.
Great. And of course, we're going to discuss a lot of things, all things Buffalo and beyond in a minute. But before we get into your current role and the things that you and your team are doing, let's talk a little bit about your personal story. You're originally from Harlem. What was it like growing up there? And how did you eventually make your way to the city of Buffalo?
Well, I am a product of New York City, a product of East Harlem, and single mom. I have three sisters, and just growing up in this great mosaic of a city and product of a single parent allowed me to kind of take a look at the world a little bit different. My mother was always this kind soul and kind of always took in everyone and made sure everybody was happy, even beyond the family. And so from a very young age, I learned about public service. From a very young age. And even growing up in the city, so many different cultures and different types of happenings going on. And this allowed me to look at the world in a different way. And early on, I knew that I was going to be whatever avocation I was going to do, it was going to be to give back. And so that's what kind of led me to understanding more about public policy, administration, more about how to serve people. And so I now have this great position in the city of Buffalo by way of New York and things in between.
That's so great. It's interesting. I actually lived in Harlem myself back in about 2000, actually, I guess 1999, it was on the west side. We may have been neighbors. I was in 124th, which was called Tiemann Place, right by Grant's tomb. So, you know, across the way, not too far.
No. Listen, I grew up on 110th, so not too far. I'm an urban kid. I make no bones about it. Right. I look at the world in a way where these cities that we have are these great experiments, this mosaic of different people where you can live, work, play, worship, and do a whole bunch of different things. And understanding the movements of a city allows me to take a look in what we see and what we do in the city of Buffalo. So you're right. You listen, you know, urban kids kind of hang out together, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what is it about Buffalo that kind of attracted you and led you on that journey there?
Well, my journey really started, you know, New York City, graduated, only guy in my family. And, you know, I just knew I wasn't thinking about going away to school. I knew I was going to college. Mm-hmm. I was the first person in my family to go to college and go away. And I applied to a school in Buffalo. You know, when I went to in high school, I majored in architecture, and it was only like one or two schools in the state. Buffalo was one of them, and I didn't think about going and anything like that. And I got accepted, and I remember talking to my mother, and she's like, oh, what about Buffalo? And I was like, I really didn't want to go. Mm-hmm. Mother, as mothers do, didn't want to have it. And she called somebody, and she said, wait a second. You know, and I remember I had a job in Macy's on 34th Street. I thought I was doing something.
Right.
She's like, no, you're going. And I remember packing up the car, you know, late in the summer. She already called, told the people I was going to go. Didn't know anything about Buffalo. Mm-hmm. We stayed one day in Niagara Falls. She dropped me off at the University of Buffalo. She said, don't come back until you're finished. And I tell that story, and sometimes I get choked up, but it's the real story in terms of what we do for others, right? And she was right to do that because, you know, the area that I grew up with, love it, but, you know, still had its challenges. And she said, you know, you're going to get out. And you're going to make sure and you're going to explore. And so that's how I got to Buffalo, and how I stayed was meeting people, doing internships, understanding a little more about my career path, and saw Buffalo some similarities, right? You know,
right.
Buffalo is this can-do city, this Rust Belt city that kind of had to reinvent itself many times over, much like the Bills, right? but you know, there was just a lot of good things. When I say a blue collar city, you know, you can pick up a phone and call somebody. Let's just put our heads together. Let's make it happen. We're a city of good neighbors. That's our moniker. you know, in terms of that, how we help each other out, especially when you're dealing with this white stuff called snow, right? You know, and you're dealing with weather events. You can be driving by, you see somebody and somebody needs help. You don't even have to wave. You pull over, shovel them out, and then you leave. You don't even wait for a thank you, because that's what we do, right? You know, and I love that about our city, the architecture, all of these different things in terms of what mid-sized cities should be.
Exactly. It's like that small town mentality in a larger footprint almost.
It really is. It really is. I mean, our proximity to some of the bigger cities, you know, my borders to the north, which is Toronto, we're an hour and a half away from there, 2 or 3 hours away from Cleveland, 3 hours away from Detroit, Pittsburgh, and then New York City. So we're in the mix of it, you know, in terms of our history, or at least where we're at. You know, we have this big body of water called Lake Erie, which is, you know.
Yes.
And then you go, you maybe a half an hour, 20 minutes, you got Niagara Falls. You know, there's nothing
right.
more beautiful than that.
I love that. I love that. So now if we fast forward quite a bit to late 2019, early 2020, we're thrust into the middle of a global pandemic. At the time, we didn't even really realize what was happening, but it happened very quickly. And you were really tasked with keeping the city's 311 call center up and running. I can only imagine that that was an absolutely crazy time. Can you give some insight as to what the environment was like when this was happening? And what were the problems you were seeing with the citizens of Buffalo that you and your team had to solve pretty quickly?
Well, you know, this world and this country has been through quite a bit. And during the pandemic, not only did it affect the world, but it affected other cities. And Buffalo was not immune to that. Our mayor, when we first started, had the foresight to have a 311 center, a call center, a place, a municipal call center where people, we can share information with people, people can contact us, and we can share information back regarding service-related calls or information. Pandemic happened, and it happened in terms of the notice and everything exponentially. You know, every day, every week, something else was coming. We knew something was on the horizon. We knew it was affecting, you know, different parts of the country on the West Coast. And it started happening here to municipalities and cities. And our 311 is operated within our city hall. We actually have one of the tallest city halls in the country, but everything is compacted here in terms of the seat of government. You can find out more about how to pay a bill or get information regarding schooling. Everything is in one building. So our call center was in that. When the pandemic happened and things were happening all together, we played a dual role. One for our employees, because they're residents and citizens, but also residents and citizens wanting and having information and being concerned.
Right.
And we saw the challenges. We were shutting down schools, service restaurants, and all of these other things were shutting down. And even parts of government, to be quite honest, things that were non-essential, you know, obviously police and fire, but things that were non-essential that we saw. And having a call center allowed us, because we have a unique pinpoint with residents and citizens. They're calling us for information, but we're also pushing information out. And we felt the tension that was happening, that people wanted to know. You know, they were watching things were happening on TV. But at some point in time, government plays a role. The mayor played a role. Our mayor, Byron Brown, played a very strong role in terms of leadership in calming a city. Right. Letting them know, listen, this is what's happening. This is what's going on. And then he self-activated. He contacted myself and the staff here at 311. He said, listen, we're going to have to elevate what you're doing and we're going to have to escalate. I'm moving people out of City Hall. I know but you're going to have to operate this. And I always say, you know, at the 311 call center, you always have different things on your roadmap. Right. You want to do special things, but sometimes cost and money are challenges. And so we always felt like we wanted to do remote calling or we wanted to have remote agents, but we never had the opportunity to say, hey, this is what we're going to do. Well, pandemic happened. Right. And we had other partners that we wanted to do that we reached out to. And so I remember I always talk about this. Every day there was a certain percentage that we were closing City Hall,
right.
You know, Monday. Right. We had 100% of people. On Wednesday, it was 50%, you know, people like not coming in City Hall and working from home. Then on Thursday, you know, we would get the call. Mayor said, listen, you got to do something. And something special happened, you know, over the weekend, that weekend that we had to kind of work with partners such as Cisco and the University of Buffalo. And we all teamed up and said, listen, we got to get this thing and we got to accelerate what something that sometimes may take 6 to 12 months to do. We accelerated it within 48 hours.
That's pretty amazing. And that's a common story you hear across the country, and I'm sure globally, where it's out of necessity. You've got to make drastic changes, and you have to sort of improvise, innovate. And it sounds like that's exactly what you and the city did. You mentioned Cisco, and clearly there's Cisco tech integrated into some of these solutions. Was that already in place in some way, or did you have to partner additionally or brand new in terms of that connection to Cisco?
Well, what's great here is that sometimes you look at the partners that you have already that you're working with. And so we had a Cisco product, more specifically our Cisco WebEx contact center. That product really allowed us to be responsive with our agents, look at the metrics, scaling up and down. We talk about working remotely from home. We didn't have that capability, right? And so the fact that that was outside of the box and we were able to use this in a fast way, it was an important thing. Our agents received the training and caught on to it very quickly. Our managers were able to kind of look at that. And it was a transition, but it was an easy transition. The WebEx contact call center product was just an integral piece of that. And it also allowed us, not only for our contact center and our agents and our residents, but also allowed us to catalog those calls so that we can do our clean sweep initiative moving forward in terms of how we are transitioning. So taking a call from inception, right, when somebody's calling or clicking, the follow-up and to see what's happening in the community, the residents, to push those calls to those city departments and those community departments to follow up. It's just a wonderful thing because a lot of times our municipal call center, a lot of times what they do, they take the call, right? And then they follow up, but you don't necessarily see the follow-up that's happening in the streets. And so we're one of the few call centers in the nation that takes the call and see the follow-up from the inception that's happening out in the community, which is a very important thing. And we've always had a great relationship. You know, there's the relationship that we say, oh, that's your vendor. But I always looked at Cisco as a partner, right? And so it was easy for me to make that phone call because what was affecting us was affecting them. They had an office here in Buffalo and we had partners here moving forward and reaching out to them. We had an issue. It was like, okay, what are we going to do? Because there was a mandate
right
from the mayor. It was a mandate saying that, you know what, everyone, we're going to close things down, but you're an essential operation. We need you to be up and running. You know, because residents need to be in the know and we need to know what's happening. Folks need to feel confident about what's happening because there's a lot of nervousness happening, right?
Right.
There's a lot of, you know, everyone don't know, but you know what? They need to feel like they can call. And so once the mayor said that was a premium and my executive report said do it, you know, we reached out to our partners in Cisco, put our heads together, saw the daunting task, but you know what? We had an idea and we came up with a concept. There was the willingness to say we wanted to do it. And then I talked to you about Buffalo being this can-do city of partners. Mm-hmm. They reached out to the University of Buffalo because they had a similar product and we had to scale up. And so one of the things about working with Cisco and the product here is that the scalability in terms of where we were at and how we can be able to ramp that up. And we were able to kind of move very quickly with that. It took people power, it took the willingness to do it, but it also took the product as well
sure.
to be as nimble to scale it up.
I love how you frame the partnership story because, you know, coincidentally, we just finished Partner Summit, where we also celebrate partners. And the language that you use is right online or in line with what partners always say. You know, it's less about a vendor relationship. It's really more about just working together to try to solve problems that customers have. And so I just love the way you frame it because it's a natural way to highlight how important it is to work with others who can help you, you know, achieve the solutions you're looking for and vice versa. That 311 program now, how is that, you know, we're not over COVID yet, clearly, but it certainly is in a much better place than it was back then. How has that program evolved? What does it look like now as compared to when you first got it up and running?
Great question. I often say this, you know, and our mayor, Mayor Brown says this as well. So the pandemic happened and people say, oh, I just want to get back to normal. Or I just want to get back to where we're at. I just want to get back to, you know, this whatever. And I often say, I don't want to get back to there because what was there got us to where we were at. I want to be able to be improved. Sometimes challenges happen. And you have to be able to see process as a way that you can improve upon it, right? You know, and so through this, we had this on our roadmap, and now we have it. We have operators that can work remotely. We now have a hybrid call center. Because we have walk-ins, we have people who come in, but we do have people who now work from home, right? And, you know, and for a call center, you have to be nimble like that. We have weather events all the time. Maybe people can't come in, and so they have to be able to work from their home. But they also have to be able to know how to use the product as well. And I think that's an important thing. So as much as we talked about having a product, I had a commodity. I had my agents that I had to train, you know, to work up and down. And that was very, very important. I had agents that had needed to learn not a new system, but be able to work very much at home and we be able to monitor that as well. And so that was very, very important in terms of what we're doing too. So we have a hybrid system right now, which is great. It works for us. We continue to do that. So the point that I said here is that sometimes through challenge, if you're smart enough, you'll adapt and you become much better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And by the way, on a side note, I appreciate the siren in the background because this is the real world here, people. So you're hearing stuff and that's just how it is.
It's the call center, this is what we do, you know.
That's what you do. Yeah. Yeah. We didn't cue the sound effects. That was actually real, but it worked out perfectly timing wise. Quick question. So speaking of the hybrid thing, I know you've said that, you know, you look at the 311, sort of like a virtual portal where citizens get assistance with a whole range of issues. Are there advantages to the virtual experience for a citizen compared to physically having to, you know, for example, walk into a city office?
Well, there are. When you make a priority or, you know, in terms of the commodity of the agents that you have who are doing that, you want to make sure they're comfortable, right? And not everybody can come in, but, you know, they have to be able to kind of work remotely. The product that we have here allows us to do that and be able to look at our metrics and able to kind of do some self-coaching as well. I think that's kind of a sign of the times here, you know, this hybrid approach where we can kind of save dollars, our carbon footprint, right? You know, we have this big old building here and sometimes we talk about the future and the earth here. When you can have people working from home and not necessarily driving in and doing that and utilizing space, that makes a difference when we're talking about cost savings to what we're able to do too. So definitely in terms of what we're able to do, it's a new way of a good new way of how we operate in terms of a municipality and how we're smarter about it. And how we're now looking more at our metrics. Sometimes when you have everybody in the office, sometimes it's just easy just to look at people. But when people are working remotely, it forces you to make sure that you're looking at the metrics. And the bottom line here is that what do we do for our customers? What do we do for the citizens who call? How can we respond to them in a more nimble way, a more responsive way? There's a very sacred relationship that we have when people are calling about a concern. The people calling or clicking, mm-hmm. calling, not just clicking, oh. right? About finding about what they need to know about what's going on. And it's in terms of a municipality, we have a responsibility to activate whatever those concerns are, to follow up and to make sure that we're following up. And so it starts by having not just the agents, but the call center, the systems. It starts by having all of those here. And that's what we're able to do. And then when you have that, you can do some other different things. You can start to do some things in terms of outside of the call center that you extend the call center into the community,
right.
Doing clean sweeps and a couple of other different things.
That's amazing. Actually, that was a perfect segue because I was going to ask you, I mean, you oversee a whole slew of programs and I was reading briefly about clean sweep and call sweep. Are they connected? What are they? What does that mean exactly?
So they are, you know, so we have a call center. We take a myriad of different types of calls, and we also do self-service where people are letting us know about what's going on and concerns. When I'm in staff meetings with other commissioners and directors, you know, and people are talking about what's happening in the neighborhood, I'm always the guy that's raising my hand. I'm always like, because people, I know what's going on because people are calling, right? You know, we know what the different concerns, and so I'm always helping. I'm like, hey, wait a second, I know about that. And people are like, how do you know? Because people are calling, right? And so what we wanted to do, we knew that people sometimes were redundantly calling in some areas and we had more than enough and we had hotspots. So we had these areas where of concern where we were getting multiple calls. Mm. And so sometimes instead of, you know, you were sending people going to the same place over and over again. And so what we thought, you know, at least I thought, and I was talking with the mayor and said, you know, what's, you know, maybe there's something else we can start looking at doing instead of just sending, because you call, we send somebody to respond to the issue. Maybe we should be doing something different. When I look at certain areas and we look to see there's multiple calls and, you know, we have these hotspots. Well, instead of sending one, right, let's get everybody you know, and one day of the week, let's just, you know, bring the Department of Permits and Inspections, get building inspectors. Let's bring community police officers. Let's fix potholes. Look at street lights, right? Maybe there's an abandoned property. Maybe there's high grass, dogs barking. And so what we do, I can see by using technology and you looking at the data, these hotspots, and one day out of the week, because the call center uniquely have these relationships with all these partners, we go out and just do the ultimate act of customer service and fix everything. And we do this probably with about 200 homes, two or three blocks. We go there, we kind of descend. I always talk, we bring the noise, right? You know, city hall noise, right? You know, we bring it. And the idea here sometimes is where you have one issue, where there's smoke, there's fire. Sometimes there's some issues that are going on that we may not know of. And when we're in the streets, when we're out there, we gather this quality of life intelligence, right? We talk to people, we communicate folks. And so we started doing that, all city departments, fixing everything all at one time. Sometimes we don't even tell people are coming, right? And then while we're doing that, I also bring community partners, right? I bring volunteers. So we have city partners, but we also have volunteers. And the idea we got here, remember I told you that background that I have from New York City of helping people in service and how people were always helping people and things like that. Uh-huh. I knew these community partners were individually going helping people. So I said, listen, let's all go together. This collective efficacy of everybody going together all at one time while we're fixing things and trimming trees and doing all this, why don't you knock on doors and talk to people? And so now people feeling a little more confident. These neighborhoods are not feeling left out. People feeling like, wait a second, what's going on here? You know, and I always tell the story about a lot of times we go into these communities and we kind of descend. And, you know, sometimes we're working with block clubs and neighborhood watches of organizations, community centers, faith-based organizations, letting them know we're coming, right? And, you know, every now and then it's a little old lady who lives there. Kids live out in California. Mm-hmm. Husband maybe passed away. She has this big old house. And she's looking and she's like, oh, my God, what is happening? She's like, oh, my, you know, and we're talking to her. She's like, oh, what is, are we all right? And I was like, no, this is 311 and we're doing a clean sweep. She's like, what is that? I said, well, you did call us, right? He says, yeah, but I mean, you did call us, though. Honestly, you called us. I was like, yeah, but I didn't think you guys were going to do this. That's what it's about. That's customer service. You know, from that call, from inception to the follow-up and extending the call center, right, and going into the community and following up and doing that ultimate act. And so we started doing just a few clean sweeps. And because of technology and looking at data, we've exponentially almost tripled the amount of clean sweeps we've been doing. And so this year we actually broke a record in terms of the amount of clean sweeps we did in that. So that's, I kind of wanted to explain that because I think, I honestly thought that everyone was doing this. I thought, you know, this is what we do, right? You know, this is what everybody doing. I find out that maybe not everybody is doing it, but this is something that a community looks forward to, and we should be able to be responsive to a community.
And that brings up another question too, because when we think of people being able to call, we think of like the digital divide. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has access to equal internet. Sometimes people don't even have phones. How does that play into this? So does this initiative affect the digital divide? Are you learning things about that access when you go into these communities?
Somewhat, but let me transition and say about equity, right? You know, and looking at digital equity, and we're looking at in the community. So not everyone is going to be able to go online and click. That's why we have people calling. A lot of times the people calling are more of an older senior citizens who are utilizing this because they have faith and trust in government. And we don't want to disturb that. And so a lot of times when we're going into these communities, we see that sometimes you have some neighborhoods that are a little underserved, they're not necessarily calling or some challenges are happening. That's where we look at the data, right? And so our WebEx contact call center produces information and data, right? About the person, how many calls, what do we do? How do we transfer that? And so we take that data and we can see, look, what's happening in this neighborhood here? I got this call, I got that call and that call, you know, because sometimes a vacant lot can't call 311, right? A broken stop sign can't call 311. And so I take that one call and I look at other things and I look at the issue of equity of service, right?
Right.
You know, this idea when we're talking about 311, this democracy of service, right? The sacred relationship that we have, the follow-up is a very, very important thing. And so we kind of self-activate those 311 calls. And it really starts from that call us cataloging that. You know, you have to have the product, but also have to have the people. And then we follow up with that too. I talked earlier when we were talking about the readiness in the community and sometimes how they're surprised, right?
Right.
But let me also say, not only is the little old lady or that person surprised, but sometimes our partners that we have, our volunteers, are like, wait a second, ooh, we picked the right area. Well, you know what? The data said this, right? Equity says that this is where we're supposed to be at. And this is how we kind of give confidence to a community and really, you know, at the municipality, right? That's what we're all about. You know, the mayor is the mayor of the city of Buffalo. He's responsive to residents. We have to deliver services. We have to do it more efficiently.
Right.
We're constantly looking at ways to be innovative, and we're doing that with our process and helping people so that we can listen and we can, again, follow up on their issues.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to shift gears one more time, and I want to talk about the World Smart City Award, because you are a recent finalist for that. I would love for you to explain to our listeners what that is and how you came to be one of the candidates.
Well, humbled by the recognition. From my understanding, these were cities, multiple entries all across the world and multiple cities from across the world who looked at innovative ways in approaching how they were relating with their citizens. And so we talked earlier about our 311, our clean sweep, our combination in terms of our response to how we revved up, looking at our partners with Cisco and the University of Buffalo. And so we're nominated in terms of the work that we are being able to do. And it is an honor, a little embarrassed by all of the attention from this too. But when I'm talking to my mayor and my staff here, there are people who can learn from, you know, our example and make sure that they are more responsive to other cities and to residents. We're glad to share. And so humbled by this, I'm excited going there to learn. And when we're talking about smart cities, it's an important thing. You know, cities have to be more efficient. Cities have to look at their processes in a different way because, to be quite honest, our residents demand that.
That's amazing. Congratulations on that. And I know that you're excited about it. I want to get away from work for a little bit. Not that there's anything wrong with work. You know, we love our jobs. But I want to talk about life beyond work, because as I normally have these conversations with my guests on the show, at some point we have to really step away from the quote unquote noise and decompress and just make sure we take care of ourselves. You know, wellness, well-being is super important for us individually. So when you're not working, what is it that brings you joy, or what are some of the things that you participate in to kind of reach that zen place you need to reach just to get away from it all?
What are you talking about? Not working. I'm the complaint guy. I'm the guy that everyone calls like needing a break. What are you talking about? No. Listen, I think it's an important thing that we have to learn how to take care of ourselves. Allows us to think about the future and how we can take care of people. So decompressing, needing to do that a little more often. But, you know, my acts of decompressing is taking day trips, you know, when I can, just going out. You know, we're in upstate New York, which is so beautiful. I have one of the seven natural wonders of the world in Niagara Falls. And every now and then I find myself taking a trip up there and just kind of sitting out and just kind of taking in, you know, nature. I love to go on hikes.
Sure.
You know, so I told you that I was an urban kid. I grew up in the city, but I'm fascinated when I'm out in the woods, right? And trees and all these things. And so I'll get a backpack and I'll just, you know, do a day hike. We have the Catskills and Adirondacks are all around here. All of these are kind of like maybe a couple of hours drive. And it takes me away from all of that, right? The other thing, too, is I love to listen to music. You know, listen, I am a hip-hop type of, you know, I'll put the headphones on even when I'm walking out and just kind of decompressing. So it allows me to kind of just refresh a little bit.
I love that. So I got to ask, I know it's a silly question, but a Bills fan?
Of course I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. I told you, we're the city of good neighbors. We're that can do. Is there any other team? You know, listen, we're having a great season. You know, I am very much a Bills fan. And I can't say, listen, what happens with the Bills, you know, definitely has an impact on the city of Buffalo. And listen, I'm unashamed, you know, to be called the Bills fan. But you know what? I'm more proud just to be called Buffalo as the city of good neighbors, how we help each other out.
And I have to tell you, you're probably the sharpest dressed Bills fan, because that I love the bow tie. I know it's real. I know it's not. I know clip-ons don't count.
Clip-ons definitely don't count. I am definitely listen. Every bow tie has its own personality,
right?
And as you can see, I kind of have my own personality. You have to do this when you're decompressing. You're taking people's issues and complaints. You have to be not only lighthearted about it, but you know what? Sometimes an injection of humor, but it's not about you. And so, you know what? If I can add a little bit of a flair, and people see that, I'm all about the bow tie.
I love it. And you wear it well. Oz, this has been a great, great conversation. I'm so glad that we got to connect and make this happen. I just want to thank you for your insights, for all the great work that you and your team are doing in the city of Buffalo. And we're so happy to be, a partner of yours. And I appreciate your time.
Listen, thank you for taking the opportunity just to highlight not just Buffalo, but all of the cities who are doing innovative things. It happens, rubber hits the road when customers demand something and it expects us to be innovative and approachable. And I said, thank you very much, not only to you, but to our Cisco partners and to all of our partners and vendors.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you.